Hi, it's Jessica Rector, founder of This Man Thing, where we help men become their truest, best, badass selves. You can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/ This Man Thing, where men are having real conversations and getting much needed support and camaraderie and building friendships as well. And I know if you're like a lot of men out there, you may have a couple friends, you may not have any friends, you may have friends that you've known for a lot of years, but you don't feel that real connection with where you can go and share anything. And that's what the guys in this group are doing. And we want to help you get and build more confidence, freedom, and success. And we're doing that every day with hundreds of men. So welcome to the podcast. I want you to help me welcome my guest today. I had so much fun having him the first time around. We are having him on again. Steve Portsmith finds good men who are in the grips of emotional rejection, self-doubt, sexless marriages, impending divorces, and shows them a new way to live their life. He teaches them how to think, speak, and act in ways that quickly increase their self-control, confidence, and overall mojo. Sometimes they stay happily married, and sometimes they become happily divorced. Either way, Steve shows you how to be happy, how to be a happy, confident man of mojo again, and live the life you've always wanted. Please help me give a warm welcome to Steve Horseman. Woo!
Thank you, Jessica. Boy, you sure know how to do an intro. Thank you, nice lady. That's so sweet of you.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. We had a lot of fun with this. Loved having you on.
What's
last
that?
Time, and I was excited you agreed to come on again. So for those who didn't watch you need to go and watch the first podcast. It was a lot of fun. It's called Becoming Irresistible, or How to Become Irresistible. And it was very enlightening, but we had a lot of fun and really, really great in-depth conversation, which you can never get enough of that. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about you and how you got started on the journey of helping men.
What I like to tell guys who are asking me, why do I do this and how did I get into this? I want them to know one thing for sure. Every man I talk to is me. The reason I got into this is my own problems with women, my own problems with the 28-year marriage and questions about who am I as a man, as a lover, as a husband, and why do women do what they do? Why do they leave men? And why do you get divorced? And what does that mean about me? And so when you get into this coaching thing, you tend to start having conversations that serve yourself. It's a selfish endeavor. I tend to coach people who are most like me because they help me still heal the things that I want to heal. One thing we're going to be talking about today, I think, is confidence. Where does confidence come from? And the reason I do this is because every conversation I have with a Jessica Rector or a client or anybody else is a deeper dive into the answers to three questions. Who am I? What do I really want, and where am I going in this life? Those three questions are the things that I help men answer because I continually want to answer them for myself and be clear. So that's why I'm doing this. It's a selfish endeavor, but plus the bonus is the booby prize. I get to meet incredible women like you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's so nice. So I know in the work that I do, and I know you found it in the work that you've done, that confidence in men is a real issue. And it's fascinating to me because no matter how confident a man seems or presents himself to be on the outside, there always seems to be this, whether it's a quiet insecurity or a loud insecurity, but there's always an aspect of his life where maybe he's not as confident as he wants to be. So talk just a little about your experience with confidence in men and where do men start in building their confidence?
Normally, as young men, we can all relate that confidence usually comes from the achievement of something, getting good at something. So there's an external measure that we use. If we get good at math, I was really good at spelling. I got cocky in school because I could win the spelling bees. Ooh. Later, I got good at soccer. I started out being horrible soccer, but by the time I got to ninth grade, I became good at soccer. So my confidence in the things that I knew how to do, my skills and my knowledge. So what I know and what I did became the very basis of confidence. Mm-hmm. And so when people liked me and approved of me, or girls wanted to date me because I was the captain of the soccer team, or because I was one of the smart guys, right? I had my first important girlfriend was a valedictorian, beautiful brunette who was great at calculus and everything else. She liked me because I was a jock who also won the spelling bees, right? So my confidence came from what I knew and what I did. But the thing that I never knew, I never had a man in my life tell me that kind of confidence is very shallow and it's very short-lived, because real confidence comes from knowing who you are. And that's not something we learn as boys. Nobody talks about being a man. We talk about what you have to know and do to become a man. And so our life crashes around us when we find out that we're not as confident as we thought we were. When we get into long-term committed relationships, marriage, divorce, and separation, all of a sudden sucks the wind out of your sails, because your confidence was always based in stuff that you knew and stuff that you did, not in who you were. I'll stop there and we can launch off from there.
So what's the difference between being confident, what you said, and what did you say? That you're taught being confident versus, I forgot what you said, but I was like, okay, so what's the difference between, like, what you were talking about? These are the things, like being smart, being good in athletics. You became confident in that. What's the difference between being confident in something like that and then knowing who you are and a man and being confident in that?
Well, let's bring it into a specific case. Let's talk about the relationships between men and women, which I think most of our tribes are heterosexual men. When we first get into puberty and get into the realm of finding a woman who likes us for our body, likes us for who we are, and we start using them as a source of affirmation. We start using them as a source of security and feeling good about ourselves. And so the one measurement of is our day going well, yes or no, for so many nice guys, I know you know the nice guy syndrome after having interviewed Dr. Glover.
Yeah.
Us nice guys tend to have one gauge of well-being when we get into romantic relationships, starting around 15, 16, and beyond, 55. There's one gauge that is a measure of our well-being has a woman's face in the middle of it, and the needle goes between two extremes. She loves me or she loves me not. And that's the one gauge we look at. We forget of all the other things, all the other reasons that we're valuable, confident, powerful men, because now we're using her as the reflection of our worthiness and our value and even our happiness. Am I getting sex? Yes or no? Will she kiss me? Yes or no? Did she smile at me? Yes or no? This gets to a question I think you want to ask me. Do we measure everything through women? We can talk about that. But the mistake that a lot of us nice guys make, we do start to measure so much of our value and well-being through the eyes of a woman. And when it's not reflected back in the way we want, we crash and burn. And we don't feel confident. Even though we might be a super smart guy who's great at sports, none of that matters when a woman enters the picture.
So does it depend on...
You're powerful.
Does it depend on who the woman is? Not just any woman enters the picture, or is it any woman that enters the picture? That's what happens.
Well, early on, and this is not all men. I'm not saying this applies to all men, but for men who have some of the nice guy tendencies and some of the need for external female validation in a chronic sense, it starts out with mom. Maybe our favorite aunt or our school teachers, just like Dr. Glover talks about, we get PhDs in the art of pleasing women, because getting gold stars from women, getting approval, you're such a good boy, oh, you're so strong, oh, you're so handsome, oh, I love it when you do that. And then also later getting the physical affection and sexual and emotional attention is the ultimate reward. Mm-hmm. So we can do it with any woman. We don't normally do it with sisters and stuff, but we do it with any woman who has the power to fill us up, to make us feel good. Those are mothers and aunts, relatives, teachers. And then later in the sexual realm, it becomes especially powerful in romantic relationships, which is where I do my work.
So what about, how can men like push away from that and not lean into that?
Yeah, huge question. There's a book that it's one of the most powerful books on confidence that I've ever read. And it's by Barbara DeAngelis, who she's out of California. She's written a bunch of books for women. She wrote a book on confidence for women called Confidence, Finding It and Living It. And this is the third book in my program I have guys read. It's short and powerful. And she talks about three types of confidence. She talks about behavioral confidence, that is having confidence in that you know what to do when you need to do it, having confidence in your actions. Emotional confidence, and that's having confidence in dealing with your feelings and being the master of your emotional domain, being able to respond instead of react to everything. But the third type of confidence that no man has ever thought about, I exaggerate, but most men don't, is spiritual confidence. And Barbara makes the case that until you reach a level of spiritual confidence, it's very, very difficult to reach a mature level of emotional and behavioral confidence. Spiritual confidence is not religious. It's not about your belief in a supreme being. It's a belief in that you were born with a certain value. It's a belief that you deserve to feel a sense of value and pride in yourself, that you were born with happiness and joy. You were born with confidence. And you were born with God-given, or whoever your God is, with the value of a man who deserves to feel confident. Now, using the word confident to define confidence is hard. So I like to use a different word, right? It's not confidence. Mojo is the feeling of, I am in control of my emotions. I'm in control of my situation. And when it comes time for me to feel good about me, it has to come from inside me. The moment I start placing rules on women, on how they should be, how they should talk, how they should act, and how they should treat me in order for me to feel good, the moment we do that, we've lost the fox. We're no longer confident. We have no spiritual belief that those things reside inside of us. And so the point in the book I just referenced is that once you start working in the realm of spiritual confidence, you start realizing you've been placing the responsibility for your happiness, joy, and confidence in other people. And that's the step. It's a complicated answer to your question, but it's the first step of a man realizing he has to change. There's a switch where you take back the power of where your confidence really comes from.
So how do they begin on that journey? How do they begin on that journey of spiritual confidence?
How do they begin? They hire Jessica Rector, first of all. Because I've seen you on stage talk about this. I've seen you yelling at the top of your lungs, right, about the importance of self-love and worthiness, right?
Yeah.
Watched your videos. And so the first step is admitting you have to want this, right? You have to say, holy crap, what I'm hearing from Jessica, what I'm hearing from Steve applies to me. I am afraid that I might be going down this road for the next 30 years of my life of constantly looking outside myself for other people's approval. And I don't like that. The first step is saying, I see that, I agree with that, and I don't like that. I don't want to be that guy. That's the path I had to take. Didn't happen to me until I was age 50, when I had that conversation with myself and my coach, that I realized that, holy crap. This is when you read No More Mr. Nice Guy, you hit your hand on your head going, man, he is speaking my truth. That's exactly what I do. I secretly make contracts with people to give me things back. I manipulate and I control people. And I'm on the outside, I'm a nice guy, but I have dirty little secrets. You have to say to yourself that I don't want to do this anymore. The next step is to start doing some spiritual work and some self-work and understanding why you have value without having a woman telling you you're valuable.
Yes.
You have to start removing the affection and sex portion of your life from your gauge. So I say the best way to get rid of an idiot light on your dashboard, the idiot light, the check engine light, is to take a piece of black electrical tape and put it right over there so you don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
So that gauge that has her face on it, does she love me or does she love me not? You have to put a big piece of black tape over that. And we need new gauges. And the new gauges for confidence and for knowing that you're becoming spiritually confident is, am I doing things that build confidence in myself and knowledge of my value? Am I hanging around with people who are draining me of energy and are full of negativity and cynicism? Or am I surrounding myself with highly initiated men, high quality men and women who lift me up and energize me, who are having conversations that make me think deeper than I've ever thought? Am I reading things? Am I doing activities that fill me up? Am I taking care of my body? Am I taking care of myself in a way that shows I care about me, that shows that I agree with my own value. And so some of these other gauges, how am I responding, how am I reacting, who am I hanging with, what conversations am I having, are the kind of gauges that men typically don't have because they're too busy looking at the one with her face on it. Is she having sex with me, yes or no? Mm. No, this day sucks, right?
Mm. Well, so something came to mind when you were saying that. There's this guy that I was talking to, and I don't think, I know that those exact words don't go through men's minds, right? So for instance, this guy reached out to me, and after conversing with him, he starts telling me how he's been cheating on his wife. And I said, okay, so what do you get out of that? And his response was that it excites me that I'm pleasing another woman. And it excites me because these women are different than my wife, that they're not the same, that, you know, I thought that when I married my wife that she's not wild in bed. And I thought she'd change and would be wild in bed if she loved me. And so I asked him, but what are you getting from these conquests? Because that's how he even labeled it, conquests. What are you getting from that? It's not about the pleasure that you're giving them. And he was like, you know, their faces when they orgasm, that's not what you're getting. And everything he was saying, my response was external validation. And then when he starts, like, when I start peeling back the layers and he starts saying how, you know, he was made fun of in school because he was small and stuff like that. And he goes, and now I don't have an issue with that because I know I can seduce women. And I know that he even said to me, we haven't met, but I know if we met that you would fall in love with my personality and I'm a great guy and I could seduce you. And of course I was like, dude, really? That's another story. But he actually said to me that Now I'm not hung up on my size. He goes, because I know I can get any woman. So that's not an issue. And I said, but what are you getting out of it? Because it's not all those things that you say it is. What are you getting out of it? And it was all about external validation, that he knows that he can go to, or he thinks that he can go to all these different women and they're going to like him and fall in love with him. And that makes him feel good. It makes him feel special. It makes him feel important. It makes him feel liked. It makes him feel appreciated because he's not getting that. And I told him that and he goes, you may be right. And of course you and I both know I am right. But, and that's not about ego. That's just from experience, right? So, like we know that's how it is. And so I told him, you need to stop looking for external validation and start looking in yourself, because that will never stop. The more you look for external validation, the more you want external validation, and the less you're going to look inside yourself for validating.
I couldn't agree more. I use a visual as a galvanized bucket. If you have a bunch of buckets hanging off your body of things that you want to have filled up and satisfied, Tony Robbins calls them the 6 basic human emotional needs. You know, you have certainty, safety, you have variety, you've got love and connection, significance, growth, and contribution are the 6 buckets. And they're pails, galvanized pails. And you look at that one where you feel significant, right? That's huge for men. This is even huger for men than most women. Even though women like to feel significant, when I do comparisons between women's and men's answers, men usually look at that bucket of significance, which has in there the question, am I good enough? Am I good enough yet? Am I big enough, smart enough, rich enough, tall enough? Is my dick big enough? Or all that significant stuff. And so we go through life early on, and people have ice picks and they poke little holes in the bottom of that galvanized pail. And we try to get it filled up, and we're trying to fill it up from other people. Mm. And the more we go through life, the more fear we get, the more doubt we get, the more questions about, am I good enough? I don't know. So am I good enough question, that's the hole in the bucket. So with every woman you sleep with, every orgasm you have, with every relationship you create and every woman you dump, You think you're filling the bucket up, but it's falling out the bottom as fast as you're trying to fill it. It's just what you said. You'll never get enough. The truth is, you'll never get enough of what you don't really need to be happy. You'll never get enough of what you don't really need to be happy. The truth is, the man you're talking about doesn't really need to seduce women, get them to like him, desire him, suck him, whatever he wants to measure, get that bucket filled up. As soon as it gets near the top and he slept with enough women and he looks away for a minute to grab a sandwich, he looks back at the bucket, it's only a quarter full because it's all drained up. And that anxiety and fear that I'm not good enough, I have to go back and recharge. This is why pickup artists have such good business, because there's so many men who are trying to fill this bucket that can't stay full. How do you patch the holes, Jessica? Let me ask you a question. How do you think a man might patch the holes so it doesn't drain out so fast?
Well, besides hiring you, Steve.
This is a love fest here, isn't it? Yeah. You and I know. Go ahead. I'd like to hear your view.
You can't do on your own, though, you know, because you're going to sit there and rationalize it. You're going to sit there and justify it. And it's never going to work. You're going to sit there and try and do it on your own, and it's going to lead you right back, because he couldn't even see the language he was using until I said, but that's not it. He didn't even recognize that it was external validation. It was all this other language that he was telling himself. That's what happens when we're too close to it, right? We tell ourselves all this other language, and that's not really the truth. It's like some hole bucket, right? Some hole in him, some void he's trying to fill that he will never fill, because you're right, it's never going to be enough. He's never going to feel enough, and you can't get that from anything external. You have to look inside yourself.
Right. Yeah. So if we use silly putty, if we want to go patch those holes in the bucket with silly putty or something like that, that silly putty comes from a look inside yourself. If you don't believe that you're inherently a valuable man, that you have intellectual value, that you're smart, and you bring to the world, both sexually and non-sexually, you bring intellectual value, you bring emotional value, that you can express yourself and express feelings and connect with other people in a way that creates value and connection and relationship. If you don't have value in your physicality and your sexuality, and knowing that, I tell guys, if you don't think that you're a bowl of Rocky Road ice cream with whipped cream and a cherry and chocolate fudge when it comes to the sexuality department, if you don't believe that with or without a woman in the room with you that you have sexual value, your bucket's going to have holes in it. So we have to dig in and find out, where did the belief come from that you need to have sex with random women to have validation that you are valuable? Then there's spirituality. There's a spiritual value. Do you, as a man, can you have a conversation with a beautiful redhead on Zoom and do an interview, right, without secretly fantasizing about having sex with her? Well, that's a tough question, because men have that trigger going on. But how can you have amazing conversations with amazing people, men and women, be your goal to fill your buckets up, instead of thinking that sexual conquest, sexual desire and approval from women is the measure? How do you get there? And you and I are saying the same thing. It's an internal search of finding out that you don't need that to be happy. You'll never get enough of it. It's like crack cocaine. And so the work that you and I do are trying to teach men, how does that come from within? So when you show up in front of a woman like you, right? And I do this to you all the time, right? Because you're striking in your intelligence, in your voice, in your looks, in your intellect and sexuality. How do we show up in front of a woman like that and feel totally relaxed, totally calm, totally confident, totally unrattled by your fieriness and that moxie you bring, the challenge that you bring to men? How do you feel that way if your bucket's draining all this stuff out? But if you're full, if you know you're okay and you know you're valuable, and you know you can look her right in the eye and that you're at the same level as she is, her pedestal is not here and you're not here, we tend to put women up here. So what you and I are trying to teach men is how to raise your pedestal in your own mind so you can look eye to eye with women like you and feel totally relaxed and realize that.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
But
I think part of the problem is that men take away their own power. They put women up on the pedestal, A, to takes away your power. You need to be on level playing field. B, by calling someone queen, princess, whatever, like do away with that. They're not a queen. I hate that. They're not a queen. I don't want to be someone's queen. I don't want to be someone's princess. I'm Jessica. If you want to call me a name, you can call me that. You know, and then when we get to know each other, you can call me babe or something like that, but not queen, because there's something that goes along with the terms like queen and princess. You're already giving them that air that they are better than, and people can disagree with that, but there is that better than that comes with queen or princess, that those titles like that. And so again, you're giving away your power. The only way that you can sit here face to face with me, standing full in your value, standing full in your confidence, is because you know who you are and you can stand in your power. If you can't do that, if you do not know who you are and you are not fully aware of your power, and I'm not talking, and you know I'm not talking arrogance, I'm talking just being fully aware of what you bring to the table, you wouldn't be able to sit here and have a conversation with me like that. Yeah. So what can we do to help men stand more firmly in who they are and in their power? Join us next week when we continue this conversation in next week's episode.